Wednesday. Y'all looking forward to being here, right? Being part of the service. Everybody's quiet tonight. I know it ain't quite 7 o'clock, but I don't know what time it is. If I hear her breaking her playing, I jump up. It's good to see everybody tonight. Good to see our visitors. Appreciate y'all coming. Go ahead, buddy.
Number 231, Jesus Saves. That's all.
Thankful so much for the privilege to be back in thy house tonight, dear Lord. I pray that you'll bless the time together, dear Lord. I pray that you'll meet with us. Pray that you'll bless Brother Fry as he preaches. Pray that you'll give him every word to say tonight, to the Lord, and help us to take it home with us, to Father, and apply it to our lives, dear Lord. Thank you again for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen.
Number 212. Nothing but the Lord.
Time last night. It was a good service last night. We may not have as many here tonight, but Lord be with us. We can have just as good a time.
Amen.
the Lord can do something for us. I made the mistake last night of saying something when I left. I was talking about big time singers. I said, we've got some big time singers. We're going to let Teresa sing for us.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he supplies, my thirsty soul he satisfies. He's the Lord of all, he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, and he fills my deepest longings. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need. He's all I need. I need not turn to any other, for he's a friend who's closer than a brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, and he fills my deepest longings. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, and he fills my deepest longings. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need.
That's enough said right there. He's all I need. Amen. Julius, come on up. We got to be good Baptists, of course. Ask your blessing on the offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this good revival that we've had, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll bless as we close out tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll bless Brother Price. He brings the message. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the offering, Lord. I pray that you'll bless the giver and the one that may have nothing yet. Lord, for the answer to your honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Since it's Wednesday night, it's just mostly home people here tonight. We're going to put these up on the bulletin board. We've got an invitation from Kelly and Johnny. I'm hoping everybody will make time. I guess I can get this open without tearing it. Y'all make plans to be at their wedding. If you don't, they know where you go to church. This will be 2 o'clock on the afternoon of June, Saturday, June the 8th, and it's going to be at Lively Stones. If you need directions, one of us here can tell you or get you there. Just meet us and you can follow some of us out. And Caleb, believe it or not, Caleb is 40? Four going on 40. His party is, you know, where Mom and Dad lives. It's at 1 p.m. And this is on June 1st. So keep those in mind. Julius mentioned this was a closeout, but it don't have to be the end. It can be the beginning. We just keep a revival in our hearts and let it grow. Brother Fry, I'm sure you got something wonderful for us tonight. Come on up. Brother Fry said he was loose tomorrow night, but he may not want us to tie him up again.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Open your Bibles, please, this evening to the book of Ruth, chapter number 2. The book of Ruth, chapter number 2. And while you're finding your places in the Word of God, it has certainly been a joy and a privilege for my wife, Miss Potter, and I to be here at Faith Baptist Church. And we have enjoyed your fellowship, and we have enjoyed the food that you prepared for us on Sunday in the time of fellowship, and then we've enjoyed the services every night. Seemingly when I come in this part of the country that we get a lot of invitations. And so I appreciate my friends. And so when I come to Danville and I go back home with more than I came with, that's pounds. And today Brother Yancey invited us out to dinner over here at this Chinese place over near near IHOP's. I never seen such a place. All that food. That's bad to turn a Baptist preacher loose in a place like that. With all of that food. Thank you, Faith Baptist Church, for loving us. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you for your mother's support. And God bless you for your mother's support. Thank you for your faithfulness. And each soul that is reached through our ministry that God has given us, then you have a part in that ministry, and we appreciate that so very much. I love and appreciate this church. I've been coming here so many years. I started coming here on the pastor, Brother Ben Pooby, and that's back when I was a young man, and preached for him many, many times, and I guess I've been in evangelism 13 years, and I've been here 12 out of 13, if my records are correctly. This makes my 12th time being here since I went in evangelism. Appreciate my friends tonight from over Temple. God bless y'all for coming tonight. Friends of a long time. And I enjoyed the service last night. The Lord gave us a lot of visitors last night, didn't he? And we had good singing. But I want to tell you something. You got to go a long ways to hear any better singer than Sister Teresa. She does a good job on the piano. And good job of singing. No, she didn't pay me to say that. I said that from the depth of my heart. So we love and appreciate you. And you pray for our ministry. If you ever need us, you have our telephone number. And you know where to reach us. Again, thank you for allowing us to come. Thank you for the offering. Whatever, God bless you for that. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Pray for our ministry as we go for the Lord. When we get a day home, and this is Wednesday night, they call this hump night. If you get over this night, they say you got it made the rest of the week. When we get home, seemingly we always got doctor's appointments. And we get home tomorrow. It says it's going to storm tomorrow. And that means I need to get my grass cut tomorrow. before that storm comes in. And then Friday, I have a doctor's appointment in Winston-Salem. And then I so wanted to go hear the Primitive Quartet sing at Dominion Valley on Friday night. And then I start a meeting Sunday at Imogene Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina, through Wednesday. We get through there Wednesday night, and on Friday of next week, we leave for Gulfport, Mississippi, and the Temple Baptist Church is 751 miles from where we live. Then we come out of Gulfport and come back through this way to Brookneal over here at Lighthouse Community Baptist Church for Sunday through Friday. Then we get through there and we go on to Lynchburg, Virginia at the Gospelite Baptist Church. Brother Scott Dean will be there a Sunday through Wednesday. Then we come back down to High Point, North Carolina to Temple Heights Baptist Church and get through there on a Wednesday and leave on a Thursday for Vermont and New Hampshire. And that's over 2,000-mile return trip. So would you pray for us as we travel for the Lord? I'd appreciate that from the depth of our heart. If you could and would, please, would you stand this evening as we read the scripture together? After reading the Word of God together, please remain standing for prayer time, and I'd appreciate that. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men till they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barn in a harvest and a wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. My heavenly Father, I come before you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus again to thank you for your blessings on this day. Then we thank you for your mercy that comes down fresh and new every morning. And Lord, you made this day for us, and we have, and we are rejoicing, and we're glad therein. And then, Father, we're thankful that we have this opportunity again to come to your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, my Father, we have worshiped you in music and in song this evening by the congregation and the special. And Lord, I pray now as we get ready to worship you in the preaching of the Word of God, that, Lord, we shall receive holy unction comes only from God. Now again, would you bless our visitors that's in this audience? I pray for every member of this church and ask God you bless them. Then, Father, as faith is in need of an under-shepherd, a pastor, Lord, you have a man somewhere for them, and I pray, God, that you'll send him here and help these folk, Lord, to continue on in the grace of God and serving you. Save souls, I pray you would. Encourage your people in these last days and give revival. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the Word of God and prayer time. Now, before I begin the message this evening, always when I go to a church, as regular as I do this church and other churches, there are times when I miss faces and I wonder where they are. And sometimes I'm a little hesitant to ask where they are. And sometimes I get the news that they've gone on to be with the Lord since you was last year. And then I hear that often. Then some say, well, they have found themselves another church. And on we go. But I'm so grateful and thankful to God for your stickability. This evening I want to preach on this thought, abiding in the field of grace. Now, by the way of introduction to our message, Ruth has been gleaning in the field of Boaz. While there, she got more grain than she bargained for. Now, as I look at this introduction this evening, how true that is for every child of God. When God saved you and I, we got more than we came for. We came to get salvation. When we got saved, we came on a repentant basis asking God to forgive us of being a sinner. And just being saved was enough for me. Just to know that I had been born again and that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then as I began to read the Word of God, I realize that in Christ we have eternal, everlasting life. Then as I read on in the Word of God, I learned something else, that Jesus said, I will meet and supply all of your need along the journey. And then he said something else. He said, I'll let nothing more come upon you than you're able to bear. Thank God for that. God knows our heartaches and our troubles. Then he said at the end of the journey, he said, in my Father's house, this is what Jesus said, are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. So I learned that when this life is over, we have a better place to go to. So we got a lot more than we came for. Then again, we find Ruth, she also caught the eyes of the wealthy field owner, a man by the name of Boaz. He works things out for her so that she leaves his field with more than enough grain to feed her mother and her mother-in-law for a week or more. She also leaves that field with instruction from Boaz. You see, this man is falling in love with Ruth, and he is determined to get to know her better. And before she leaves, she's invited by Boaz to abide in his field until the harvest has ended. He wants to take care of Ruth and see that she has all her needs met. And more so, he wants to be a blessing in her life. And so I would remind you that Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in these verses we see a portrait of how the Lord works with his people and how his people should respond to him. You see, like Boaz, the Lord Jesus possesses a big field of grace. He wants us to abide in that field. If we will abide in the field of grace, he will see to it that we get everything we need and much more. And so allow me to point out the great blessings that are contained in these verses. So I want to preach for a few moments on the subject of abiding in the field of grace. And again, the Bible tells us, first of all, Ruth is invited to abide. You'll find this here in verses number 21 now. It was a personal invitation. Now he said unto her, Boaz is interested in Ruth as an individual. He wants to know her better. He is concerned about her. Now know this about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a personal Savior. He is interested in a personal relationship with each of us. In Romans chapter number 10 and verses number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then again, we find also he's interested in us personally. He wants our walk with him to be an intimate one. In John 15, in verses number 5 through verses number 6, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Then he goes on to tell us now here in Revelation 3 and verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now let us go back to verses number 5 in John 15. Now Jesus has declared unto his disciples, he has said this unto you and I am the vine, ye are the branches. Notice now, he that abideth in me and I in him the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, if you go out here and you plant an apple tree, and a few years has gone by and there are no fruit or there is no apples on that tree, you plant that apple tree simply to gather apples, fruit from it one day. And so if it bears no fruit, the only thing that you have is a shade tree. Or if you plant a peach tree, you expect to get peaches from that tree. But during the time of the life of that tree, there will be dead branches that comes upon that tree. And you'll break off those dead branches and cast them into the fire because they are no good. They will not produce fruit. Now Jesus is telling you and I, he saved us from out of our sins. We was dead in trespasses and sin when God saved us. Now he said, you're mine. I am the vine, you're the branch. You've been grafted into me through the new birth, and you're to bear fruit for me. Every one of us are saved, regardless of our age, are to be a fruit bearer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then again, he tells us in Revelation. Now, this is what John is saying. We get a picture here in these last days now of Jesus standing on the outside of the church door asking for an entrance to come in. And sad to say, in many churches today, that Christ is not welcome in the church. And they play the part of being a church. But every church does not honor the presence of He, the Holy Spirit. They go through emotion, that's all they have. They have a form of godliness. And so we find that John tells us here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." This is a picture of our Lord Jesus today standing on the outside of the church door knocking, asking for an entrance to come in. Now, so many, and I'm sad, and I'm sorry to say this. So many churches has programmed the Lord Jesus out of their church. They got the program they go by, and you cannot hear from that program. They can tell you 30 days down the road who's going to pray. They can tell you 30 days down the road what song they going to sing. They can tell you 30 days down the road what the preacher's going to preach about. Now, this has become mechanical. I believe there's a such thing waiting upon the Spirit of God, don't you? So we need to wait upon Him, and we welcome the Lord Jesus to come to our services in the presence of He, the Holy Spirit. Then I must go on. Then the Bible goes on to tell us something else here. Number two, it was a precise invitation. Now, we find that Boaz told her exactly what she was to do. He said, "I want you, Ruth, to abide in my field." He left no question to what he expected from Ruth. Now, notice this. He left no question about that. And so it is with Jesus. He wants us to be in an intimate, abiding relationship with Him. In John 15, in verse number 4, this is what Jesus said. "Now abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me." Then again, we find in John 15 and verses 15 through 16, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." So when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you want your prayers answered, you got to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. I appreciate since I've been here this week in the book of Matthew. And Jesus tells us in that last chapter of Matthew, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto Him. So when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus to get access to the Heavenly Father. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and He the Holy Spirit, and you cannot separate them. Back many years ago as a young Christian, and my pastor was teaching the adult Sunday school class from the book of John and these very verses. And this is what he said to me and what he said to the class that Sunday morning. I remember as if it was yesterday. When you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we do. And again, we find Jesus, he doesn't want his people gleaning in his field one day and another field another day. Jesus wants us to glean continually in His field every day of our life. He wants us to live a life that's consistent, one that feeds off of our relationship with Him, one that requires Him to exist. He wants there to be a hunger in the heart for Him. God wants us to have a hunger in our heart to serve the Lord and therefore to feast upon Him. I don't know about you. I preached this the other night, last night I believe it was. We're headed for heaven. And very little is known about heaven. But to every child of God that He has placed a desire in our heart to go to heaven one day because we're saved. Because we've been born again. Again, when I look here in the Word of God, the Bible tells us that He wants a hunger in our heart for Him. We're not to have a hunger for the world and the things of the world, but He wants us to have a hunger for Him. I look here now in Psalms 42 in the first two verses. And the Bible said, "And as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Notice now, and verses number two, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Now notice what the psalmist says here in verses number 1. And as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now I see this little deer, or this little hart. It's running down this mountain. And this pack of wolves is chasing this little hart. He's trying to get away from those wolves, and he can't. And he gets down the mountain, and he gets down in the meadow. He begins to run, but he's so thirsty, he can hardly make it. And he sees how close those wolves are upon him. But there is a brook, there's a stream running through that meadow. So what he does, he takes time to sip water from that brook. And when he does that, you know what it does? It gives him that added strength to go on and get further away from his enemy. And so when he looks back as he takes that drink, he's so thirsty from that meadow brook, he's getting further and further away from the enemy. You and I are on the run from our enemy today, and we need to thirst after God. The only one can give us strength to outrun the enemy. You cannot do it within yourself, and neither can I. But by God's help, we can outrun the enemy, ladies and gentlemen. And so he's up on our heels today. Then again said, my soul thirsteth for God. Notice now, for the living God. I'm glad that God's not dead. He was not left on the cross. They crucified him. They tried to kill him, but he refused to stay dead. He came out on that third day. He went away. He's not going to stay gone forever. He's coming back one day for his children in the clouds of glory. Then again, I want you to notice number 3. It was a promising invitation. He said, until they have ended all my harvest. Now, Boaz wanted Ruth to know that she was invited to glean in his fields until everything had been gathered. This promised her that she would enjoy plenty until the harvest was over. Now, God said, I want you to know one thing. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to mean supply all your need until the harvest is over. The harvest is still being reaped today. But during the time that we're reaping the harvest, God is saying, I'm taking care of you, my child of God. I'm taking care of you. Then again, I want you to know the relationship that Jesus wants to have with his children is not a short-term situation. He wants us to abide in his field till all the harvest is ended. And that is why he's promised us that he will never leave us. In Hebrews 13, verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that is why that he's promised us that he will never cast us away. In John chapter 6 and verses number 37, let me call our attention this evening. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise, he said, cast out. You are mine forever. No, those who enter into this kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus find themselves in a fertile field of grace. Oh, let me say, which has his presence and his blessings are rich and real every day. Thank God for his blessings. Isn't God good to us? I thank God for his blessings all this day. He has led us today to labor with him. He's allowed us to come back to his house tonight to worship him in spirit and truth and enjoy fellowship with him in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God has allowed that. And I thank him for that. Again, his blessings are not to have a hit and miss, but they can be as constant as a North Star. And then again, we find number 2, Ruth is instructed to abide in verse number 22. Notice now. We find here the character of the field. Ruth is told that it is good. This is a good field. He said this is a proven field in verse number 17. It was a productive field. It was a promising field in verses 21. This speaks of the quality of the field. Now note the field of grace that Jesus expects us to abide in is a field of the best character. The field of the best character. Staying with him will produce the fruit of his image in your life and in my life. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8 and verses number 29, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You may have lived a good moral life. You may have lived a wicked life. But I'll assure you, it takes just as much blood to save that most wicked sinner as it does that most moral sinner. It takes the same amount of blood to wash away our sins. But regardless of the lifestyle, I'm glad that God saved us and we produce fruit of his image in our life. I want people to see Christ within my life, don't you? when they look at me, I don't want them to see no fraud, but I want them to see the image of God through his servant. Because I want the world to know that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we're not partake of the things of this world. Then again, as I look in the Word of God, gleaning in any other field leads to destruction and death in Proverbs 16 and 25. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's so many people, they think what they're doing is all right. They think they can bypass Calvary, bypass being born again, and go to heaven because of their good works. And sometimes when I see people, they go to church and listen, seem like they are saved. I remember not too long ago, I helped do a funeral of a man. And for years, I thought this man was saved. I preached in revival meetings. He was at every service. He was faithful to that church. To see his fruit that he was bearing, you would have said he has got to be a Christian. Not one finger could you lift on his life because there was no accusation against him. And then one day, as he turned 90 years old, he said, I've never been saved. I need to be born again. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, again this evening, it's not good works that get you in. You've got to come by the way of the cross. You've got to be born again. It's still the blood. Thank God for the blood. And so the Bible goes on to tell us something else here. Oh, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And then again, for those who have gleaned there and tasted of the fruit thereof, would never think of gleaning anywhere else when you can have all that Jesus offers you. Why would you settle for anything less? Then we find something else, number two, the completeness of the field. Now, Ruth found more than just food when she was, listen, in the field of Boaz. Now, first of all, she found peace. Then number two, she found safety. Then number three, she found security. And then she found hope. And then she found refreshment. Isn't this just like our Lord? You had no peace in your heart and soul until the day that God saved you. Now we have, listen, we're at peace with God and we have the peace of God. So she found peace, and that's one. Then also she found safety in the arms of the Lord Jesus. We're safe forevermore. Then the Bible said also, we have security in him because he will never cast us out. And then we have refreshment. Then we have that relationship. Then there's a time that we had a dead hope, but thank God now we have that living hope. And God tells us we feast off of his goodness and his blessing. So this speaks of the quantity of the field. Now when you glean in the field of the Lord Jesus and determine that you will abide there through the times abound as well as the lean times, you'll find that the field contains all you need to sustain you through all time. Now, no, let me say, is Jesus all you need? Oh, then that's not nearly enough. Is Jesus all you want? That's not far enough either. He wants us to come to the place where Jesus is all that we have. If we have him, we have everything. He wants us to get to the place to realize that if we have him, that's all we need. Hebrews 13:5, in that middle part of verse number 5, he said, for me to live is Christ. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then Paul said, I get that in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. And he said, to die is gain. And so we are, listen, where are you in that process? When you come to the place where Jesus is all that you have, we'll find that we have all that we want and all that we need. He offers completeness for all of those who glean in his field. Now let me call our attention again to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verses 11 through verse number 13. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned, get this, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Let me pause there for just a moment. That's not the state of Virginia. That's not the state of North Carolina or New Hampshire, South Carolina. Paul is saying that when I went into town, I was going to either be in a dungeon or I was going to be put in prison. Now, there's a difference in a dungeon and being behind prison bars. A dungeon has no roof over it, and all the weather falls into that dungeon, and Paul was put there many times. And then in jail, he was put there. He was chained to soldiers. Had he not been chained to soldiers, he never got to witness to the king. But God makes no mistakes. And Paul said, I've learned to be in whatever state I'm in, be content. Paul said, if I'm in jail, I'm content there. If I'm in the dungeon, I'm content there. If I'm in the king's palace, he said, I'm content there because I'm going to witness for the Lord. And you get to remember one thing, that Paul was never in jail for doing wrong. He was put in jail because he was preaching Christ and him crucified. Again, he goes on to tell us now, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, he said. Then we find the company of the field. Now when Ruth was gleaning in the field of Boaz, she had precious relationships with the maidens in the field and with the master, the Lord himself, listen, the field of himself, Boaz. So there was that relationship. When we learn to abide in the Lord's field, we also privileged to enter into some of the wonderful, most glorious relationship. First of all, there's that relationship with the people of God. Our fellowship together is precious. I'm glad I'm preaching to people that are saved tonight. You know what it is to be born again. You know what it is to be washed in the blood. And because that you have been born of the Spirit of God. Because I've been born of the Spirit of God. We've been washed in Calvary's blood. Let me say, then we are the children of God and we have the same Father and go into the same heaven one day. We are a real family. Did you realize that? We are a real family. I thank God for my earthly family. My mom and dad has been gone for years. And my sister and my brothers are gone. I'm the only one left in our generation. My wife is sitting here, a baby girl of 13 children. All of, even her parents have been gone for years, and all of her brothers are gone. She has one sister left, only two living out of 13. But that's a family. But that family departs because of death. But death cannot depart God's children. Can you say amen right there? Shout right there. We are the family of God. And I enjoy that, and God's made that possible. God says we are a body. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians, let me share something with you for just a moment. The Bible said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verses 12 through 27, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of that body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, am not I of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncommon parts have more abundant calmness. For our common parts have no need, but God hath, listen, tempered the body, together having given them abundant honor to that part which lacked. That these should not be, listen, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. Whether it or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members, he said, in particular. Now, if one part of your body hurts, let's just go. If you got one toe on your foot hurts, they cause the entire body to suffer. It does. The entire body. Last night, Brother Gil Hawks, I felt so sorry for him. He can hardly walk now. Did you notice last night he can hardly stand up? And he said, my body is so racked in pain. So if one part of our body hurts, the entire body hurts. And let me say to the church now, if one member of God's family goes out in the world and does wrong, it causes the entire body to suffer. Not just your church, but the entire body of Christ to suffer. And that's why we're to live a life above reproach, a life of integrity. Then we're part of a fellowship. Now the Bible tells us that not only are we part of a family, but we're part of a fellowship. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank God for His people. They are precious. Secondly, we have a relationship with the master of the field, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a close relationship. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to John 15 in verses number 5 again. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same, bringeth forth much fruit. But without me you can do nothing. Then this is a permanent relationship. John 6:37 again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is a permanent relationship. It's not a hit and miss. It's not for a little while. But when you got saved, it's a permanent relationship. Then again, the Bible tells us here in John 14:16, and I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So we find the relationships of his field are precious beyond this world. When I think about that, ladies and gentlemen, I find third in verses 23 that Ruth is inclined to abide. I'm going to say along with Ruth this evening, I am inclined to abide in God's field of grace. Now notice what he says here. First of all, hers was a continual work. Ruth entered that field every day and gleaned faithfully until the harvest ended. Now note, that is what Jesus expects of all of his people to do. He wants us to glean in his field faithfully every single day. Let me say, he would have his people dedicated, consecrated, consistently gleaning in his field, carrying out his will till he comes for us. You know why? Because Paul says it best here. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 8 through verse number 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so many times we stop short of that, but what about verses number 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Then number 2, I'll have you notice here, hers was completed work. She was steadfast and dedicated until the work was finished. Now notice that the Lord would have his people continue in his harvest work until he ends all the harvest, not part of the harvest, till he ends all the harvest. Again, listen, he's looking for those who will begin to glean and finish well. I want to be able to say what Paul said when he reached the end of the way. Now, this is what Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through verse number 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth has laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Notice now, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Then we find number 3, hers was a consecrated work. Now this verse tells us that she dwelt with her mother-in-law. She was a young, beautiful widow. She called the eye of Boaz, and she probably called the eye of other men in Bethlehem. And the Bible tells us she still walked in integrity and maintained her purity through those difficult, lonely days. So this speaks of volumes about Ruth's character. She willingly submitted herself to the field, the future, her family, and her new faith. Ladies and gentlemen, when I think about this, this speaks of Ruth's integrity. Also, in doing so, she sets an example for you and for me. When I read the book of Ruth, when I study the book of Ruth, it sets for me, an example to go on and serve God in spite of circumstances. When I read instead of the book of Job, and seeing Job maintain his integrity until the end, then it inspired me to walk on with God. When I think about Job, all things he lost, and at the end, God allowed him to live to be 140 years old, and he's seen four generations. God's good to us, isn't he? That's why we need to abide in God's field of grace. I want you to know this is, as we glean, we're to be faithful to do his will as we pass through this world. So I ask you, are you doing what God wants you to do also? Are you walking in integrity? We're to keep our lives clean and pleasing and the sign of the Lord, all for the glory of God. He would have his people to be holy. We find that in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16. There are many who need to come before him and make that fresh commitment, you know, to do his will. And listen, to abide in the field of grace until the harvest is ended. As I conclude my message this evening, Ruth committed herself to staying in the field of Boaz. She did not wander from field to field, but she settled down and worked in the field of grace. I wish God's people could catch a vision of that truth today. Far too many of God's people are wandering here and there, gleaning in this field and then in another. We need to settle down and glean in the field where God's put us to be happy. God wants us to be a happy people. So let me say, I would to God that we're just determined in our hearts that we're done playing with these things and settle down to serve him and glean in his field until God said, it's all over. That's my message this evening. Would you stand, please, all over the church? While every head is bowed, Brother Buddy and Sister Teresa comes with an invitation song. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for time together. Thank you for moments together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these people who have been faithful to come and our visitors tonight. I pray for them. Lord, if thou should be one in our midst tonight that's unsaved, God, would you save them tonight? Lord, there might be one child of God tonight that's drifted too far from the shore. There's some things they need to talk over with you. May they find their way to an old-fashioned altar. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What we're singing, Brother Buddy?
252.
The Lord has spoke to you tonight. If there's a need, would you come tonight? I want you to be obedient to the Lord. Just mind him tonight. Listen. Only trust him. Only trust him. That's all God asks us, is just to trust him. Oh, yes. One other verse on my part, Brother Buddy. Listen now. Only trust him. Only trust him. I believe that's enough invitation. Thank you for allowing me to come this week. God bless you, church. Looking forward to getting back soon. God bless you now.
That's right. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, God bless you.
Any disappointments? Hope not. No disappointments at all. It's been a good week. Good messages every night. Well, the only announcements I have is keep it with you. Carry it with you on Sunday morning, same place. We'll try to be here at 9:30 for prayer time, and Sunday school at 10 minutes to you. God bless you.